Hey, Baby Jay here with the Stay Fly Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe and like this episode. Share with any other cannabis enthusiasts that would like to dial in on the session, as we're going to be breaking it down on many different topics around the cannabis industry. See you soon. Welcome listeners. Thank you for tuning in for a Stay Fly Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Baby Jay, brought to you by Southern Crop. Today, we have a special guest back on the podcast. Today, we have Hayden Green, my brother, or stepbrother, who is also one of our heads of cultivation today. Last time we had him on, he was not in this role, so going to be asking him some questions specifically about some of the things that we're now implementing in our facility. Some of his takes on the growing process. But Hayden, I know that the listeners are already familiar with who you are. So stepping into this role of being like one of the head cultivators along with some of our other team, tell me some of the things that you're implementing or y'all are implementing as a team at Southern Crop now.
Like you said, I just stepped into the plant health supervisor role in cultivation, and changed a couple things. We've switched nutrients right off the rip to advanced nutrients. We have a lot of lines of, or a lot of additives that we're gonna do on this run. And right now we just flipped the plants a little smaller than we typically have. We're just trying to really...
What's the reason we would flip them at a lower, or at a smaller height?
I mean, like you see, we've just kind of had a forest in there. And I mean, we're producing a lot of good flower, but we want to try to dial it in, do what our facility was kind of designed to do.
And what method would that be?
Just a traditional seed green. And we don't want to top the plants. We want to keep them small. We want to have, one main stem on them, and then, your side branches for maybe just fill in the space and not have it so compact in there with more than one main stem. So you're essentially a seed green. You're planting a lot of plants in a tight area or, a little spacing, and you're just giving a lot of plants, even canopy, single main branch on them, single main stem. And the benefit of that is, you can have just a lot bigger buds on top. So having a plant that you have to manage and, grow really, you have 10 main branches on it, then it's like, you're going to get a lot smaller of fruit or flowers, just like with any plant that you're going to grow. You trim off all the stuff that you wouldn't consider ideal, and it puts all that energy back into the important stuff we want from the plant, the good quality
flowers. That makes sense, because like you said, a lot of people listening, they might not realize, even though you're going to lower the amount of branches you're going to have and bud sites you're going to have, like you said, that's going to put more energy into the top of the plant, the area where it's going to get the most light, and it results in larger buds. So it's kind of like, I guess you could say the word paradox, or maybe the word paradox would be fitting, but it's kind of counterintuitive. You would think cutting off parts of the plant that would actually reduce production, but in a lot of ways actually helps increase production, because then the plant can more evenly put energy into a specific area. Is that correct? Am I thinking?
Yeah. And I feel like you and I've seen, since we got in the industry, everyone's kind of doing it differently. Not one person's going to grow the same way. And I wouldn't say there's a right or wrong way necessarily, but it's just the way that your facility's designed or the way that you want to do things can dictate on how you grow. And,
we might do this method and tweak it a little bit on the next go around.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see kind of how it works with advanced. I mean, we're, kind of adding a little bit to our nutrient line. And I mean, I think it's going to be a good thing, especially for the way that we're going to try to grow now. We're adding some carbohydrates, some PK boosters and, some good finishers, and we're trying to, you know, adjust things and try to maximize our terpene yields just like everyone else in the state, you know, but we're just taking one step at a time. I'm really, really excited just to try to manage this next room really well. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely new to this role. I'm not going to say I know everything, but there's been a lot of good people teach me a lot of things about this industry and how to grow. And I think the product that Southern Crop's going to come out within the next 6 months is going to blows people away in the state. So I'm just really pumped to dive straight in.
And I know one of the big things that y'all talk about, like when you're trying to one dial in a grow like this, or like trying to find adjustments to be better, because that's one of the biggest things with Southern Crop that I've really enjoyed, is how we're always trying to be better, and we can only do better from listening to people that carry our products and the consumers and patients. And I think we've done a good job of that thus far, with a lot of our processed goods and adjusting those. But with us being better on the grow side and cultivation side, not to say that we weren't putting out good product before, but now putting out even better product. I know that y'all talk about a lot about controlling variables or identifying variables. You know, if let's just, for example, like hypothetically, if we have someone listening right now that's a young grower or someone that's looking to get into cultivating, like, what would your advice be like for starting out, like, and identifying and maybe trying to control those variables?
I mean, honestly, I'd start simple, start with the basics, you know what I mean? You got to start somewhere and use the data and the research that others have collected and implement on your own. You know, you can start with good brands, good genetics, you know, try to have a very, very standard controlled environment and eliminate the variables as much as you can. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we face different challenges in our facility at different times of year, stuff that I didn't expect we would see, you know, like in the winter, we're obviously facing puberty. Decreased humidity in the rooms, dry rooms. In the summer, you're kind of getting packed full. So I would say, you know, try to just start with something simple and figure out the rest late as you go. You know, it's not something that you can just go into with all the answers. It's something you kind of have to take, and it's not going to be the same copy and paste every time. But as long as you try to stick with something simple and maybe slowly build it out as you go, just kind of like we've done. We started with a simple nutrient line, not very much additives. And now once we kind of, you know, dialed in some of the variables that we may have seen in the beginning, we, you know, complicated it a little bit more, but, you know.
But you got to do that. You got to complicate things, like you're saying, like one at a time.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't just be like, exactly. Let's add three new variables into this thing.
Every time you grow, try not to change so many variables, because when you jump into a new room and you add five new things that you didn't do the last
year, you're not going to know what was successful.
You're not going to know what actually helped you, what made things worse. So, I mean, you know, that's something that I've learned. Just each room, you know, add one, two things, not five. Change one or two things, not three or four. You know, it's a... That's how you're going to learn the most. That's how I've learned the most. You know, and that's what we plan to keep on doing in the future. We're changing a little bit more variables now, but we've kind of had gotten everything, I would say, where we wanted. So, yeah.
And I understand. I mean, from my perspective, one of the things I'm excited for is not only do I think the quality is going to go up even more. You know, we put out a good quality product now, but I want to put out, you know, the best of the best. That's what we strive for. But we also are bringing back some of the heavy hitters that we had, you know, previously put out, like the Goose Vapor OGs.
Yeah, we get some new stuff going and bring back some more stuff. It's like you saw from the harvest this past week. I mean, we got some exciting stuff coming out. I think the future's only going to bring more exciting rooms that we're going to produce some stuff. I think it's going to blow us away. I think it's going to blow some of the patients away. I mean, it's going to be some good stuff. So,
one of the things that you are lucky for, I'm sure that you take for granted, though, just knowing you, is the TC, the tissue culture. That's a variable in itself.
I mean, you look at our canopy in F1 right now. I mean, it's you don't see a canopy like that. It's
completely even.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect.
And why is that? Why is it with tissue culture that you're going to see something like an even canopy or a...
I mean, you know, I just know what we kind of done, and we, you know, we blast them but we don't ease them into the newts, but we're not giving them what you'd give a cutting, you know, or a seedling. We're
yeah,
giving them pretty
heavy more
newts, maybe not the max that we're going to be giving them bench, but pretty heavy right off the rip, and they all root at the same time. You have one that's a little bit smaller over here, but it still's got two main roots coming out. It's going to grow just as quick as the one next to it. It might be an inch and a half taller, or have a whole other set of leaves out on it, another dip.
But the reason why the plant and the plant next to it are going to be the same at the end of the day is because they basically are the same plant, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're exactly the same.
They're a genetic copy.
Yeah, I mean, when we get down to harvest, every plant looks like the one next to it. I mean, you know, there's obviously those little variables that are in where maybe one plant's a little different because, you know,
the light or the humidity or the airflow.
Angle's slightly different. We got more airflow in one area, but really, like that whole canopy, every plant in that room, all 3,256 that were grown look the exact same.
And that's not just a benefit to a cultivator and a, you know, operator, but that's also a benefit to dispensary owner and a patient to know, like,
that they're getting, they know what to buy when they come and buy our product, and they buy a strain or something that they like, that they know what they're going to be getting.
It's not like a first generation, second generation, third generation. It's like that is a carbon copy of what you bought previously. Now, let's be clear here, though, like for people who are not accustomed to growing, like still you're going to have variations in THC content and terpene content because of the way that it was grown, the environment it was grown.
I mean, we can see variants in that.
The genetics behind that specific strain will be identical. Which is kind of crazy to think about, like going back to the environmental side. It's like you could take a seed and plant it, you know, in one place and then plant it in another place, and it's completely different. Your end result's going to be completely different.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just cracking seeds, you know, you're running the whole other.
No, I know that, but I'm saying if they're an identical seed.
Yeah.
Like, you could take the same, for example, you could take two tissue culture plants, plant one in California, plant one in Mississippi, and you're probably going to come out with a different plant at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely, like, the environmental conditions is definitely going to dictate how that plant develops, you know, how it ends up turning out. I mean, especially, I mean, even indoors, you know, people don't realize, I didn't really realize that, especially on this scale, it's like the environmental changes that you're going to have throughout the seasons, being in an indoor and enclosed, controlled environment, you know, it's, I mean, you can see a difference there along with outside, but I mean, it's definitely crazy how much the environment can dictate the, you know, the environmental conditions inside your grow room.
Yeah, and I mean, you see that a lot more in common with even outdoor plants, even that are within, like, 5 miles of each other, outdoor grows out in California that are like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, the closest industry you can make comparison to on that and a lot of other things that goes into the cannabis industry is the wine industry and the vineyards. Because, I mean, we saw it when we were in Italy. You know, you might have a vine of grapes that goes for a mile long. I don't know. I'm not very familiar with vineyards. But from my understanding of being in Italy, seeing those vineyards, every grape's different. And if you're like, let's say you're on a hill, for example, like, or some type of elevation, at the top of your elevation versus the bottom of your elevation, you're going to have a completely different type of wine come out of those grapes.
Yeah.
So it kind of blows my mind. It's like the same thing on cannabis. Like, let's say that you were on, like, you know, you're on a coastline, for example, and the one part of the coast, like one area of your farm gets a lot more air that comes off the ocean than another part of your farm because it's down lower on the hillside. Yeah, that weed's going to grow a lot differently than the weed up on the top part of the hillside.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you can see those effects of the plant, like, even with, like, even more minor differences than, you know, an elevation at hill. Like, that's, you're going to have, like, drafts, temperature changes and stuff. That would definitely affect the plant's development, but I mean, that's definitely something that's pretty interesting to think about.
So, also, I know that we touched on terpenes earlier. You know, like, in layman's terms, for, you know, anyone listening that's not totally familiar with terpenes, like, how would you describe what a terpene is?
I mean, terpene is just, you know, a compound inside the plant that gives it aromas, I mean, it gives it scent, and it has different effects on the consumer. I mean, I know a lot of people can get a lot better definition than that, but...
Well, I mean, that's pretty, in a nutshell...
How it concerns the consumer, I mean, that's, you know...
That's basically what they need to know is, you know, terpenes, you know, with THC...
Yeah, I mean...
Will affect how your body overall handles the product, which it is, which, you know, those terpenes are found in, whether it's the flower or vape, whatever else it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've just started, like, you know, getting picky about my terpenes. So I go to the dispensary, if I see something with a high content of something I haven't seen, or, you know, a terpene that I enjoy a lot, like, I'm probably going to get that, especially if you just have high terpene profile, like high terpene profile in general. I mean, I found the effects of cannabis with mid to lower THC and high terpenes have a very enjoyable effect.
Over just a high THC.
Yeah, over high THC. I mean, it's definitely something, you know, if I want to smoke in the evening and kind of more relaxed, it's definitely, I've had, you know, or go take my dog for a walk on the park out at Bonita Lakes. I mean, it's something that I would prefer to use, like an 18% or with 3%+ terps is going to, you know, I'm going to enjoy that any day. But I'm not, you know, the average consumer loves high THC. I love high THC.
Well, I don't think that's the average consumer. I think that's the uneducated consumer.
Yeah.
And that's not like a knock at anyone.
But I mean, I was in the industry and before I was a patient, really, yeah. I was the same way. I would have been high THC all day. I mean, terpenes, what? I don't care how the weed smells. But in all reality, like, terpenes have an effect on how it makes you feel. And there's, especially as a grower now, I mean, like, terpenes are kind of a bigger deal. I like to, you know, we like have variety and like to be able to extract our terpenes for, you know, different stuff. It's just, I view it very differently now, especially after smoking a lot of weed and knowing exactly what's in it. I could say, like, having a high terpene percentage is just as important to me as THC, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like, anyone that's listening, I would challenge you to go and buy a 20% or, you know, lower 20s, maybe upper teens, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, with a 2.5%+ terpene content. Compare that to anything that's at 29% that has less than a 1% or maybe less than 2% terpene content, you'll definitely see a difference. And you'll, I can guarantee, or maybe make a pretty hefty bet on the fact that you'll likely go back to that, middle, lower THC strain that has higher terps, and you'll probably find that to be much more enjoyable and much more effective for the long-term smoke. Because like Hayden, for me, for example, I can smoke like a bat, like a 20% or a 2.5%, 3% terps and be, you know, feel the effects for several hours. When you're going to smoke a high THC or that has, you know, minimal terps, it's only going to last like 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah, I mean, definitely true. I didn't realize. I mean, y'all go now and start getting, like, I mean, I've smoked 16%, or I forget whose it was, but it was honestly just as good as some, like, mid to low 20s that I've had. But, I mean, it's, you know, you get a really good aroma profile off of high terp stuff that, you know, I haven't gotten from necessarily some of the higher THC testing stuff that we've purchased.
What kind of, when you're growing, what is it that you like to smell? Like, do you like more of, like, that earthy, skunky type of smell?
You know me. I mean, I definitely like...
Well, the people listening don't.
I like a little bit more of a skunky smell, but, you know, like, motor breath, it has to be some of the best smelling weed I've ever smelled. I mean, it stinks, but it's a good stink.
Yeah.
But then also you get that completely opposite side of like terpene profiles, like the blueberry muffin. You know, it just hits you right in the nose with the most delicious sweet smell you've ever smelled in your life. So, I mean, I'm not gonna say I like one or the other, but I definitely, you know, just in the history of consuming, would say that I've preferred the skunkier type of weed.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's how I was until honestly, I was, you know, became a medical patient. I always like really like heavy gassy aromas, but now I've found myself like a lot more like citrus, like limonene based, limonene and myrcene based type of strains. Like, but I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some really good stuff, like really good gassy stuff out there still, like that soap that recently came out. That's just, that stuff's really good.
Yeah.
And that's also why it's tough to be a cultivator, because you got a lot of competition. A lot of guys are, you know, stepping up their game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I go to the dispensary and I buy something, like, I want to grow this. I wish we were growing this. Like, so.
We got some big stuff coming through the year.
Oh, yeah.
Some big stuff coming on strains.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get some stuff and start cranking out some more products for the patients, you know, and see what we can do.
Yep, I know that we're doing that on the processed goods side, but I'll hold off on that conversation until we get our processing extraction director on, I think, hopefully in the next couple days. But, you know, I mean, that's what it all boils down to, is servicing our patients. I mean, it kind of, you know, for someone with a background of sales, you know, my mindset is always, no matter how mean they can be to you, I'm not saying they're mean in the cannabis industry, but, you know, in other industries I worked in, you know, consumers can be rather direct sometimes. And you just got to smile and, you know, go through it. But really, it, like, I'm in all jokes aside, you know, coming from a sales background, you really have to make sure that you are adhering and servicing your consumer base and your clients as much as you possible. And the hard part for, you know, us in the cannabis space is you are not only trying to make sure that your consumers, your end consumers are happy, but you also gotta keep your dispensary operators happy. You know, you gotta give them a product that they want to stand behind and that they want to go and put out. Because at the end of the day, that's how you reach your end consumer throughout the state, is through your dispensary operators. And that's one of the things I will say that here in Mississippi, I've been super happy to see is a lot of independent Mississippi-based dispensaries, local dispensaries, where these are, you know, people that have been waiting for cannabis to come and be regulated and legalized here in the state of Mississippi. So it's cool to see in our backyard, you know, being from the Southeast. Anything else from you, Hayden?
I don't think so.
Nothing, no comments, no closing comments. Any listeners are wanting to grow?
Yeah. No, just, you know, that I'm really excited to put some gas out there for the patients. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next podcast.
All right. Well, y'all can take that, roll that up. Hopefully you're rolling up some Southern Cry. Smoke it. And we'll see you on the next podcast.